Well, good morning. It's Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we have an action-packed show for you today. Going to catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile. We got a lot of NASCAR stuff to talk about. Last night, they were at Daytona, and a little bit of a surprise. Maybe not, but a little bit. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about NASCAR playoffs, which start next weekend. We'll also talk about the 2026 NASCAR Cup schedule, which was released this week as well. We've got IndyCars up in Wisconsin at the Wisconsin Fairgrounds in Milwaukee. Cool story about an unusual wallet scenario and a Ford employee. We'll also talk about some changes with Ford and a new plant that is getting refurbished, or a plant that's getting refurbished down in Kentucky. I've got a cool article from Old Cars about a crazy cool car show in Los Angeles. Of course, we'll talk about what's going on with gas prices. And then, of course, it wouldn't be the car show without a little car talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on the car show. Well, from the pages of Old Cars, this is title of this article from the Tales from the Garage, Father's Day in the 90210. Well, for those of you who didn't make it to the Beverly Hills, California car show on Father's Day, I'm happy to fill you in on some of what you might have missed. It's an annual event held on the famous Rodeo Drive, which is blocked off for the day to allow cars and people to freely intermix. It was quite a mix this year, and the show was the brainchild of Bruce Meyer, who goes full throttle every year. No matter what your automotive interest is, there is something here for you. I'll tell you this, the car culture is alive and well in Southern California, and here's the proof. There's some random notes about what you missed if you didn't make it to this year's show. Well, the first thing that caught my eye was a totally restored and resto-modded 1965 Cadillac DeVille in a deep maroon with a black vinyl roof. The whole body panels remain stock, but nothing else. Just plain cool from one end to another, including five hidden cameras placed in mirrors, as well as sequential turn lamps hidden in the rear bumper trim. In asking the owner slash builder, why this car? He responded, I always wanted to redo the longest Cadillac available. It even includes a mini-me Cadillac model in the front of the car, and it was a perfect contrast to the block-long DeVille. It was a scorching hot day for the first day of summer in Southern California, and my attention was grabbed by a woman who was turning a classic Cadillac service emblem into a bamboo-shaded bamboo rice paper sun umbrella. It was a perfect car shade for the big event. Big bonus points for originality. Well, Brass Era fans will not be disappointed. Stunning examples of a yellow 1912 Oldsmobile Defender Speedster, a green 1911 Rambler Model 65, and a 2010 Pope Hartford 40 horsepower. All perfectly restored and a great reminder of how our cars started. There was a beautiful 1923 Ford Bucket Roadster with all chrome flames that any young or old boy would wish for. It summed up the hot rod culture in one perfect vehicle. As a 12-year-old, it was a dream car, and my dreams have changed a bit then, but I still get excited when I see a wonderful execution of this hot rod idea. Now, another standout was a 1957 dual Ghia convertible number 56 in the production run of only 117. It was black on black with fins for fun. It had no function. Fred, the owner, said, who sat behind the car in a well-worn folding chair taking in the sun and the crowd. I asked him about the history of the car, and he said, well, it's been owned and driven by me since the mid-70s after I answered a for sale advertisement in the classifieds of the Los Angeles Times. Now, this, of course, was the pre-bring a trailer concept. He was more than happy to talk about the car's owner and history. The car had a brush with fame. The original owner was the 1950s baritone Vic Damone. Best known to modern audiences for what he didn't do, he actually turned down the role of Johnny Fontaine in The Godfather. Now, looking at the dual Ghia, it wasn't hard to imagine Vic Damone top down, cruising Hollywood Boulevard on his way to a recording session and singing his heart out over the roar of the big American V8. rest in peace, Vic, knowing that your car memory will live on. Now, another standout was a perfect black 1950 Mercury lead sled. This beauty was a backyard build by an owner that gave hope to every guy that he might be able to build a car like that too. This guy did, and it was a knockout. Another attention getter was a 1932 Chrysler Imperial CH. This full classic reminded me at one point in time, Chrysler built some of the best cars. Some odds and ends for the fun thing was a full-size matchbox Porsche complete with scale box. It was so fun. Every kid at the picture, big and small, had to have his picture taken in front of it. A wonderful pink 1950 Cadillac stood out. Also, the latest Ferrari in the 40th Monaco Grand Prix and Grand Prix Lamborghini. Also interesting was a oddly but compelling concept car that seemed to be made out of homemade copper pieces. Not sure what it was, but it was hard to ignore. A stunningly restored 1965 Corvette complete with the as-new dealer plate featuring the Harry Mann Corvette emblem. Harry was the leading Southern California Corvette dealer of the day, and the detail was incredible. Finally, for my day of observation, and this was hard to miss, a tall Jamaican blonde wearing small bikini and kick-ass combat boots with professional camera gear draped all over her. I could not resist the curiosity, so I introduced myself and asked her why she was photographing all these cars. Her answer was perfect. It was because of her late father. He used to take her to car shows when she was a little girl. So photographing these cars reminded her of her father. And isn't that the perfect heart of anyone, especially since this show was on Father's Day? And I think that's a great tribute for a woman who's out taking pictures of cars, thinking of her dad. IndyCar news, and the headline reads, Polo pips Malukas for Milwaukee pole. Well, David Malukas was all smiles after 25 of his 26 rivals completed their qualifying run for today's running of the Snap-on 250 at the Milwaukee Mile. The AJ Foyt driver was on the pole with an average of 162.256 with a wide margin of comfort over everyone else. And then the newly minted IndyCar champion, Alex Palou, ventured out for the last run of the session. Palou seemed to ruin that smile in the very first lap by vaulting past Malukas by nearly a full mile an hour and then completed his second lap that left him with an average of 162.971, his sixth pole of the year, and with the number 10 Chip Ganassi Racing Honda. Well, I guess I didn't expect it, Palou said. I wanted it, and I felt really good after practice. There's been so many times where I found something and we have confidence in, and you still need to get that clean lap. So Alex Palou surprises the whole field and comes out and takes the pole with the last run of the day. So I'll have results for this race for you next weekend, since that race is actually on TV right now. But you can go check it out later if you'd like. That is on Fox Broadcast Television Channel 10. Alex Palou started in the front, David Malukas second, Pato O'Ward third, Scott McLaughlin fourth, Scott Dixon in fifth, and rounding out the top six is Will Power. Last night for NASCAR, they were running down in Daytona for the final race of the regular season as the playoffs start next weekend. And the headline reads, Blaney's win at Daytona keeps Bowman in title fight. Well, not that a rescue mission was at the top of mind for Ryan Blaney, but his dramatic victory on Saturday night at the Coke Zero 400 last night at Daytona Speedway saved Alex Bowman from being eliminated from the playoffs. Blaney rocketed forward from 12th in the final running order with three laps left at the final NASCAR race of the season and crossed the finish line 3/100ths ahead of runner-up Daniel Suarez. Justin Haley was just behind them in a three-wide photo finish for second place with Cole Custer, who led the next-to-lap race. A victory by Suarez, Haley, or Custer would have eliminated Bowman from the playoffs, but instead the number 48 Hendricks driver earned the final 16th position in playoffs by points. It was Blaney's second win of the season and second at Daytona and the 15th of his career, and vaulted the number 12 Penske Team Ford into second place in the regular season standings, earning him a bonus of 10 points. This was the first victory for a Ford driver since Blaney won at Nashville Super Speedway on June the 1st. Yeah, it was a wild couple laps, honestly, Blaney said. I was with Cole, and I kind of asked him on the restart, hey, if you go to the top, I'm going with you. We kind of waited and waited, and then the opportunity came. Made some good moves to get to the top with a couple of good pushes. A couple guys behind us kind of cleared the way. The number 7 Haley and the number 41 Custer got to racing, and I was able to clear them on top and barely hold on for the win. In fact, Blaney had the opportunity he needed when Custer moved from the top lane to the bottom to block Haley's strong run. At that point, Blaney had enough momentum to carry him to the finish line and win by about a car and a length of about a half of a car. So, yeah, I was watching the race last night, and I was a little bit surprised to see Blaney come cruising through the field. But he also started on the pole. But the reason he started on the pole was from points from the previous race, because qualifications were, quote-unquote, rained out by lightning. Well, in a race that featured 44 lead changes among 19 drivers, Blaney and his teammate Joey Logano led 27 laps. Logano spent much of the final stage out in front before spinning in front of Eric Jones with just 11 laps to go. So, we have a big, big race with lots and lots of wrecks early on, and took out a lot of contenders. It was still a very, very fun race to watch. Some people at the top that you normally don't see. So as we mentioned before, Ryan Blaney won the race. Daniel Suarez in second. Justin Haley third. Cole Custer in fourth. Eric Jones in fifth. Kyle Larson in sixth. Chris Buescher in seventh. Ty Gibbs in eighth. Josh Berry in ninth. And rounding out the top 10 was Chase Elliott. All right, let's talk about the playoffs. The 2025 Cup Series playoff grid and seedings explained. And this is from the pages of racer.com. Ryan Blaney spoiled any potential Cinderella story on Saturday night by winning the final race of the regular season. Blaney's victory came at the expense of four drivers behind him who needed a win to get into the postseason. Instead, Alex Bowman took the final playoff spot on points. Tyler Reddick, who earned a postseason spot on points, did so after the first stage. Reddick's path was secure once Bowman fell out of the race from a crash on lap 27. All right, so here's the regular season points finale. William Byron won the regular season in points. Ryan Blaney second. Kyle Larson third. Chase Elliott fourth. Christopher Bell fifth. Denny Hamlin sixth. Tyler Reddick in seventh. Chase Briscoe in eighth. Alex Bowman in ninth. Chris Buescher in 10th. Buescher did not make the postseason as he was winless in the regular season and was the first driver on the outside looking in. All right, so here's the playoff grid as the with the points as they go into the playoffs. Kyle Larson is seeded number one with 32 playoff points. William Byron in second with 32 playoff points. Denny Hamlin starting in third position, or I should just say not starting, but is seeded third with 29 points. Ryan Blaney, fourth with 26 points. Christopher Bell, fifth with 23 points. Shane Van Gisbergen, who tied Denny Hamlin for the most wins with four wins this season, will go into the playoffs in the sixth position. Chase Elliott in seventh with 13 playoff points. Chase Briscoe in eighth with 10 playoff points. Bubba Wallace, ninth with 8 playoff points. Austin Cindric, 8 in 10th position with 8 playoff points. Ross Chastain in 11th position with 7 playoff points. Joey Logano in 12th with 7 playoff points. Josh Berry in 13th with 6 playoff points. Tyler Reddick with no wins was in 14th with 6 playoff points. Austin Dillon, who won last week to be able to sneak into the playoffs with 5 playoff points, and Alex Bowman in 16th position with just 2 playoff points going into the 2025 NASCAR Cup playoffs. Darlington Raceway is the first race of round one, and that is next weekend, followed by Worldwide Technology Center just across the river from St. Louis, and Bristol Motor Speedway, and those are the tracks for the first round of the playoffs. And to put a bow on our NASCAR Cup coverage for today, the schedule for 2026 was announced, and I'll talk about some of the what I see as some of the big changes. We're staying at Bowman Gray for the Clash, and that'll be on February 1st. Daytona 500 will be on Sunday, February 15th. Phoenix, our race is March 8th, and that is at the Phoenix Raceway. Let me take a look at a couple other changes that I think. Mexico City is not on the schedule this year. That is a that's been a change. What is on the schedule is a race. Oh, so before I get to that, the All-Star race this year is May 17th, and that's at Dover. So that's the first time Dover will have held the All-Star race. One of the biggest other changes is the Chicago Street Race has been eliminated, so that's not on for the season for this year, for the 2026 season. What is a San Diego Street Course race, and that is going to be out on Coronado Island. So that's going to be out on the airbase. So that's going to be a new race this year. And then we're going back to Chicagoland Speedway, which is south of Chicago on Joliet. And that's going to be on 4th of July weekend on July 5th. Another big change this year is the fact that Phoenix is no longer the final race of the season for the championship. Phoenix's race is in the second, is the October 18th, and is a part of the final four playoff races. And the final race of the year this year, the championship race, is going back to Miami Homestead Speedway, where it was before it came to Phoenix. So those are the major changes to the schedule this year, and looks pretty exciting. And I think it's I'm sorry Phoenix is losing the final race, but I think it's time it went back to Miami Homestead, which is a really great race. But the good news is Phoenix still has their two races. Well, some updates from Ford, and the headline reads, End of the Road for Ford kills off two popular SUVs in favor of a disruptive new truck, and it means a $2 billion update to a factory. Well, Ford is dropping two of its most popular vehicles in order to make more room for an electric pickup truck. The company is discontinuing two midsize SUVs as it looks to strengthen its electric vehicle group. The Ford Escape and the Lincoln Corsair will be killed off later this year. Production will stop for the Escape and the Corsair later this year. We need to start retooling the plant, according to a Ford spokesperson. We're going to have enough inventory to sell Escape and Corsair well into 2026. Interesting enough, the Escape was the company's second best-selling SUV. Well, but out with the old, in with the new. A Model T EV truck is expected to be a game changer due to the low amount of affordable electric pickup trucks on the market at this time. The truck is expected to hit the road in 2027 and will cost around $30,000. Now, Ford is putting up major cash to build this new assembly of electric vehicles. In Louisville, Kentucky, an assembly plant is getting a $2 billion upgrade in order to streamline the process of putting together the new electric vehicles, which are a priority to Ford. It will create 2,200 jobs, according to the company. Ford and Kentucky have been in a tremendous team for more than 100 years. That partnership has never been stronger than it is today, according to the governor, Andy Beshear, who said in a statement, This announcement not only represents the largest investment on record for our state, it also boosts Kentucky's position as the center of the EV-related innovation and solidifies the Louisville assembly plant as an important part of Ford's future. Additionally, a $3 billion being invested into Michigan, which will build batteries for the new truck. Almost 4,000 jobs are supposed to be added with that expansion. Quote, we took a radical approach to a very hard challenge, create an affordable vehicle that will delight the customers in every way that matters. Design, innovation, flexibility, space, driving pleasure, and cost of ownership, and doing it with American workers. And that's according to Ford's CEO, Jim Farley, who said this in a statement. We've all lived through too many good college tries by Detroit automakers to make affordable vehicles that end up with idled plants, layoffs, and uncertainty. The company's new electric truck caught many people's attention due to its low price point, its size, and its electric vehicle capacities. According to Ford, the car will have more passenger space than the popular Toyota RAV4. It will have a lower center of gravity from the batteries and improved handling and creating a quiet cabin. We took inspiration from the Model T, the universal car that changed the world, and that's according to Doug Field, who is Ford's officer of EV digital and design. So Ford building new electric trucks in Louisville, Kentucky, and that should be pretty interesting, and that price point will catch a lot of people's attention real quick. Heard in unusual automotive news, and the headline reads, well-traveled lost wallet in a hood of a stranger's Ford Edge traced back to 11 years ago. Well, a man's wallet had been lost for 11 years and had eventually been found under the hood of a car. Richard Guilford, a Ford Michigan assembly line worker, probably thought he'd never see his wallet again after he misplaced it working on Ford Edges during a shift in 2014. So, according to a report by Fox News, somehow it has slipped out of his pocket and into the car's airbox, and no one thought to check there. Well, after it had been there some 11 years, it was eventually found by a Minnesota mechanic, Chad Volk, who discovered it under the hood of a 2015 Ford Edge while repairing some of the vehicle's cooling fans. The car had traveled 150,000 miles, passed through multiple owners and locations before it got to Volk's shop. I had to sit down and go through this wallet, Volk told reporters, and quickly found a Ford Motor Company employee ID. I was surprised. You find stuff all the time, but it's usually tools. I looked through it, and I saw a Ford Motor Company badge, and I thought, I'm going to try to find this guy and see if I can get this wallet back to them. Naturally, he turned to Facebook to locate him. He sent a message that says, is this your wallet? The first thing I did is, I found this in a car, Guilford said, who recalled working on electrical issues on Ford Edges when he lost his wallet around Christmas of 2014. Yeah, I never wore sweatpants to work, but that day I did, Guilford said. I had the wallet in my shirt pocket, and somehow he leaned over a car, and the wallet must have slipped out of his pocket and into the vehicle. In the wallet was his ID, $15 in cash, an unused Cabela's gift cards worth $250, and some old lottery tickets. Good news was, the gift cards are still valid, and he can use them after all these years. After an exchange of messages, Volk sent the wallet to Guilford's home in Petersburg, Michigan. Nothing wrong with the wallet. All the money's there. Still have my $15. It's well-traveled currency, and I bet never in a million years would I thought that I would get this wallet back. Let's talk gas prices with our friends over at AAA. Right now, the average gas price in the United States is $3.15. Arizona, $3.32, so we're up a little bit from last week. New Mexico, $2.83. Colorado, $3.05. Utah, $3.03. Nevada, $3.77. And California at $4.54. All right, let's see what's going on with our Arizona gas prices. Well, the folks up in Williams are still enjoying the cheapest gas in the state, $2.49 at the Shell station and the Maverick station in Williams at $2.57. Bullhead City coming in at the Fast Trip at $2.65. Yuma at the Arco stations at $2.65 as well. And the Maverick station in Holbrook, I've got gas at that station before, and that's at $2.67. All right, let's see what's going on with our gas prices here in Metro Phoenix. Well, gas prices are definitely up. Last week, we had some gas prices that were certainly cheaper than this. Right now, the least expensive gas, and the good news is there's still gas prices under $3, but just barely. Right now, the cheapest gas in the metro is going to be at a couple Sam's locations in Gilbert, one on Gilbert Road, one on Market Street, and those are at $2.94. The Costco on Market Street in Gilbert at $2.99, and the Costco on Arizona Avenue in Gilbert at $3.04. So if you live in Gilbert, you got the cheapest gas in the metro by far. All right, the Walmart over in Scottsdale on Northside at $3.05. The Circle K on West Indian School Road, 58th Avenue and West Indian School at $3.08. The Costco on Beardsley Road at $3.09. Sam's Club in Phoenix at $3.09. And the Costco in Scottsdale, which I have gotten gas quite often there as well, at $3.11. Well, we've come to that time of the show. It's time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, howdy. You recently answered a question from a guy who was having trouble with his Jeep's key fob, and I'll try to do you one better. I have a 2017 Honda CR-V, which I really, really enjoy, except for one undocumented feature, or if documented, it's too hard to find in the owner's manual. Did you know that the CR-V key fob allows for all the windows to be quickly lowered if the buttons are pressed properly? I did not know this and was surprised when a work buddy said, "Hey, you know your windows are down, right?" So much for the security of my vehicle. I was just happy it wasn't pouring rain when this happened, and I believe it might have happened more than once. Apparently, there is no way to disable this feature other than keeping the key fob out of your pants pocket or perhaps maybe wearing loose-fit clothing. Do you have another suggestion? Getting rid of this car is not an option. Thanks for all the years of laughter and learning. And that's from Dennis. Yes, I know all about this feature, Dennis, and it was documented, and this is a feature, not a bug. Lots of cars do this. Most of them, if you hold down the unlock button for 3 to 5 seconds, the car will lower all the windows, and on some cars, it will actually even open the sunroof as well. Now, I found this useful when I was riding around the car with my late brother after he had the triple burrito dinner for lunch. So it's really designed to help your car with hot weather. Manufacturers figured that there would be occasions when you would park your car outside. It's 85 degrees, and the car sits there for an hour or two, and then it's probably 130 when you get back in the car. So as you're approaching the hot car with your groceries or your Sleepy LaBeef 10 CD collector box set, and you have to open the windows quickly and release some of that heat before you get inside the car and get the AC going. Some people find this very useful. Hello, Arizonans. Other folks, well, they hate it. We'll count you in the group B, Dennis. On some later model cars, you can actually disable this feature, but I think Honda had the ability to turn it off somewhere around the 2022 model year. So you can try one of two things, Dennis. Either get a case for your key fob, which will prevent you from accidentally engaging the unlock button, or you can buy some relaxed fit jeans. Either way, good luck. Yeah, that's a feature on a lot of cars, which now has me really curious to see if that works with my cars. So next time I drive my truck or my car, I'm going to try that. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name's Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday, and you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.